For Rabbeisai, last week we began Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, and just to catch up, the Chavos Levavos has told us that every human being and every Yid has to think a lot. We are not allowed to go through life not using our brains. We must use our brains and constantly think about many things which will bring us to Shlemus in this world and the next world. Unless we give a lot of contemplation and thought and meditation and evaluation of the whole situation, I'm not trying to sound, it sounds good, it rhymes, but of the situation of our life, we will not get the maximum out of our lives and will not get success in this world and success in the next world. As David Melo said, Chishavti drochoi Vashiva raglai elidasecha. I gave a lot of thought to my way in life, all my ways, and only then did I turn my feet back to follow your edus. Without chishavti drochoi cheshbon hanefesh, one will not live in conformity and in consonance with the Ratzon Hashem. And that requires two things, he says. It requires two cheshbonos. One cheshbon is, where am I holding, discharging my obligations to the Rabbi Shlomo? And the second cheshbon is to think how much, how many good things Hashem does for me, and how much I owe the Rabbi Shlomo. So here, in the second chapter, the Chavos Levavos begins to address the question, does everyone have to make a similar cheshbon? And he says, no, it is different to everybody. It depends on how good Hashem is to you. The better Hashem has been to you, the more you have zocha to revelations, the more you have to serve Hashem. And we'll see in a second what that means. He proves it from Pasuk and Dvarim. Pasuk and Dvarim says in Perek Yud Aleph, Yedatim Hayom, Ki Loi Es Bneichem Asher Lo Yodu, Vashelaro es musara de noy lehechem, es godloy ves yoda yachazok as run the tuya, ves aisoisa ves masa vashir osu vadech mitzrayim the parim and osram vachlaatsa, vashir osu lechel mitzrayim, vashir osu lechem amidbor, vashir osu ledosan vavira, vashir potsa zoras es pil vetivlein, ki enechem arroyes es kol maasei adonoy a godla shir osu, ushmartim es kol amitzvah shir anoichim mitzavcha ayoyim. The pasuk sounds very generic pasuk, not too exciting, a few psukim, but it is exciting, says the Chavos Levavos. Hashem is telling the Yidden who left Mitzrayim and the Yidden who are Sinai, I don't expect loez b'neichem asher lo yodu. I don't expect that much from your sons who didn't know and didn't see what happened in Mitzrayim. They didn't see these miracles. They didn't see the punishment of Paro. They didn't see Kriyas Yamsuf. They didn't see what's going on in the Midbar. They didn't see the Mun in the Midbar. They didn't see the earth open up and swallowed Korach, Dasan, Vaviram. You who saw it, you must be Shomer, the mitzvahs, more than they. So the more a person saw, the more a person is responsible. And therefore, you know, if we can't compare ourselves to other people. So often, again, one of the great Eitzes of the Eitzar is that we look at the person next to us and he's so dilly-dallying, so if it's good enough for him, why do I have to do more? We can be an older person, look at this yeshiva bacher, look at this kollel fellow, and you say, well, he's not doing very much. But everybody is different. The truth of the matter is, this subject of doing very much, really amazing, how we have the chiyuv that we have to serve the Rabbi Shalom, how it has hashpon of the people. That's why you have to really be careful to be in the right place. If you know the right neighbors, you know the right friends, the right shul, so a person gets very shvach. On the other hand, if you're in the right place, there's a very beautiful story about Jay Roden's brother, Aryeh Roden, rabbi in Dallas. So I'm sure you know the story about your brother. There was a gentleman that came to his brother shul once, Lenny, and Reb Lenny walks in, and a totally religious fellow out of the clear blue sky, never knew his brother in Dallas, walks into the shul, says, "I want to give you a donation." how much you want to give? He said, I'll give you a donation, $2,000. I don't have my checkbook on me, but I'll give you a donation. The guy disappears, and Rabbi Roden, his brother, jokes, some guy walks off the street, I'll give you a donation, $2,000. This is the 80s, a long time ago. It was a little more valuable. Kitzer, the guy does come back a bit later, and he gives him a check, not for two, but for $3,000. And this begins a whole friendship, and this person becomes a big supporter of this Orthodox shul in Dallas, which is not easy to support Orthodoxy in Dallas in those days. And unfortunately, he dies very young, this gentleman, but he leaves over his will money for the shul, and this was like a big chizuk for the future of Torah in Dallas. It turns out, why this man walk off the street? Because the fellow had gone for the first time, if I remember the story correctly, had gone to the first time to Eretz Yisrael on some mission, and he went to the Kaisel, and he actually sees a Yushalmi davening, pouring his heart out by the Kaisel, as you see sometimes on Taki, you see Mamish, very often you see people pouring their hearts out. And this man was thinking to himself, like, wow, what a beautiful person. I can't even talk to this person, he doesn't speak the same language to me, but I'd like to do something to advance the ideals that this person believes in, so when I get home, I'm going to do something. So he comes home, and he speaks to the local baker, I believe it is, the Shomer Shabbos baker, and he says, where would I find a place here in Dallas that would have an organization that would be similar in ideals to that Jew who was by the Kaisel? So he said, go to Rabbi Roden Shul's, Orthodox Shul's, Torah Shul. That brought this guy off the street to Rabbi Aryeh Roden Shul, and to give a lot of support to the Shul and to Torah. And it was good he did it, because he died never very young. Hashem let him fulfill his purpose in his life. So, but the Yerushalmi, who's by the wall, has no asaga what he did. He didn't even talk to this man. We don't necessarily talk to people verbally. There's non-verbal communication. So the Yerushalmi never spoke to the gentleman. And doesn't know he existed even. He never saw the guy looking at him. The Yerushalmi's looking at the Kaisel, at those stones. But because he davened so fervently, he had an impact on a person who then went and had an impact half a world away in the Western Hemisphere, and did good things, which the fruits of those good things are still coming out in the year 2000 and in the future. Who knows how many people are being, there's data now, there's all good things are happening in Dallas, Texas. So,
his mother, now at his funeral, it is Levaya, so his mother said, if you did it for my son, I will now dedicate him. He gave a day school. There's hundreds and hundreds.
The whole day school, really. Unbelievable. She gave the whole day school. No, I didn't really know that. So, I mean, it's amazing. So from one little encounter, the Kaisel, a non-verbal communication, so the fruits are still blossoming. So, therefore, Fakir, instead of looking at the people who are doing less for their Rabbanei Shlomo and saying, well, they do so little, why should I do so little? Why should I do more? We have to look at people who are doing more for their Rabbanei Shlomo and being inspired by people and say, hey, I'd like to do what they're doing. And that can be a tremendous inspiration. So he says like this, and I will read already the Lashon inside because it's so important. He says, therefore, a person is Maima Bashem. If you really believe in Hashem, we all say we believe in God, but belief makes demands of us. It's easy to say, I believe, I'm a believer. A believer, he says, believes that God wants something from us. A believer doesn't mean that God, we want something from God. That's what our belief is. Our belief is that God owes me a lot. That's what I'd like to believe. I believe that God owes me a lot, and I want a lot from God. That's what I believe. That's what a lot of people would like to believe. I'm a believer. I believe God owes me. No. A believer is, I believe that I owe Hashem, and I will give Hashem back. I will try to repay him in the most precise fashion possible. I have an obligation to Hashem to serve Him to the nth degree of my physical stamina and my mental understanding, and I have to toil, I have to sweat, and I'm going to do it. So no one's a problem on Sunday. What are you doing today? Sunday. Today's Sunday. You're painting your house, right? Does you? You're gonna rake all the leaves up today. You can take you're gonna rake the leaves. I know people. They sit there and they have their leaves. They have their earphones over their have their you know, their ear is protected, and they sweep up the leaves, or, you know, they fill up bags and bags and bags and bags for the leaves, and mamash, the packing and the bags, and the biodegradable bags is being picked up by the recycling, and they're so proud of themselves. Spent the whole day, they can spend the whole Sunday, put kaychas into it, because I owe it to my lawn. I owe it to my neighbors. It's not right to my neighbors that should have leaves straying all over the place. It's not my wife. She wants me to make sure it's nice and lawn. I owe it to my kids. They shouldn't have to romp through these messy, dirty leaves and they get it all over the house. So to make sure the leaves aren't in the house, you can spend the whole Sunday, buy all kinds of equipment, and rake those leaves up. Koichas, gewaltige koichas for the leaves. But to come to a shiur, or to do a mitzvah, a bigger chaylim, and this and that, no time, that's too much. Maybe I'll stop in for a minute. You know, okay, a minute, two. You know, I'll do God a favor, come to Shir maybe, and say, I'll come for a little bit. Yeah, who has time for a whole... Imagine learning the whole day today. Imagine the whole day, so you're off today. Imagine learning the whole day. Imagine the whole day learning. Maybe imagine going around with somebody who needs to collect a duck, or go around collecting with them a whole day. Come on, collecting a whole... I'll give you a couple of names you want. I'll give you some people who'd love to have you take them around the neighborhood to collect today. They want to dream of doing that? No, God gave me my ears and my arms to rake up the leaves today. If not to rake up the leaves, then to pay my... I have to make my obligatory pilgrimage to Palisades Plaza on Sunday. I have to be Oyla Regal to Palisades Plaza. And, you know, I have to pay my respects to Rep Palisades. Go to the palace of the palace. We have agendas. We have all kinds of agendas for ourselves, and our time is booked. And we'll throw a few... threw slivers to the Rabbanim Shalom. He said, no, a person who's a maimon, if you really believe, then you believe that everything we have is from Hashem, and we have to struggle with ourselves to repay Hashem to the limits of our physical and mental ability. And he said, whatever I can actually do, I should really try to do. And certain things that I just can't finish today, I have to try my best at least to start it. And the abia bepiv says the chavos above is I have to express verbally, I have to make a verbal statement that I'm shtaikek, that I'm yearning to fill my obligation to Hashem. The yizgagel and belivai, I have to yearn to get in my heart. Like David HaMelech says, achalai means my yearning is yikonu drachoi lishmor drachecha. That my ways should be straight and be focused to guard the Ratzon Hashem. So I have to make. So I should be doing this Sunday. Okay, so Rabbi, I don't go around people. Okay, so have you checked your tzitzis out lately? Well, your tzitzis okay? You check your tefillin lately? I mean, you check your mezuzah lately? Have you gone through your kitchen lately? Maybe you know things get mixed up. You the whole system is good over there. Especially if you have a shiksa in the kitchen. You have a shiksa, you have to have a shiksa, right? She messed up your kitchen lately. Probably she did. Probably, it's guaranteed she did if you're not taking care of her. You're watching over the whole system with the shiksa? You care about that? So your business, you watch over real carefully. And the control of the auditor, you watch over very carefully. And you make sure that you have all these CPAs watching over your books, make sure everything's okay. And the stock market page today, you're going to watch very carefully, watch all the different investments you have in your portfolio. You're looking very, very carefully. And your heart is throbbing up and down to see what's going on with the NASDAQ left off on Friday with the Dow Jones. These are things you can look at. It's very fine print in that the New York Times. I'm kind of taking a fine print. Where's my stock over there? Look up and down. Or better yet, from the best dimension, you look on the internet, you'll see it printed out in front of you with a nice banner. But that you're going to check out today. But your kitchen, to make sure that all the milk's in the right place, the flakes are right, who cares? Who dreams about that? They're traveling. Maybe you go around the shul and check out, maybe the place is a mess, because the kids mess the place up all the time, and the adults too, and they drop all kinds of garbage all over the place. Maybe you want to be mahadir, mekayim zeh keli vanveyu, by looking around, see what I can do to fix up the shul over here. You know, we dive in the shul, we take it for granted. Someone else wants to do it. It's not my job. Maybe there's a door that's broken. Maybe it could use something done over here. Maybe there's all kinds of things. Maybe go over to the president and say, how can I help the shul? You know, it's not fair. I've been here all this time. I pay my dues. So what? There's more to shul than just the dues. These things don't even enter our mind. Says David HaMelech, we have to mishtoge the cheshe gadol. We have to lose sleep over how can I serve Hashem better. And the truth is, I mean, I'm the worst culprit over here. I mean, it's like unbelievable. You know, this I have a deadline, as I told you 100 times this week. This is the absolute deadline for my Sefer. I'm telling you, it's unreal. If I would only serve Hashem like I serve my book, the book is my new God. I have a new God called the book. Absolute ego trip. It's just all for my personal, it's just personal ego, that's all it is. I don't make any bones about it. It's totally ego, money, whatever you want to call it. It's my personal, I can't sleep because of it. I can't sleep. And the worst thing was, on Shabbos, I had to struggle myself so hard not to think about the safer, but it's safer, but it's my own personal thing. Friday night, I'm telling you, I'm mamash had an assignment not to get my hands on the computer. Like the whole week I'm on the computer, and Friday night I hold myself. I was tossing and turning new ideas. I got to put this in the book, I put that. The last minute, one week left. I got this great thing to put in, and this halacha I have to clarify. I have to go do this thing better. I have to rewrite the overview. And I'm thinking, I'm mamash was tossing and turning Friday. I was struggling myself in the middle of my sleep. Don't think about this. This is vayechulu hashemayim v'aretz. You have to say kilu kol malachli nasis. So all the time, you know, I don't know what means to be a balabas. Friday comes, I have no problems. Friday comes, I get ready for Shabbos. Hours before Shabbos, I'm the first one. The mikvah, I'm there 5 hours before Shabbos. I'm dressed for Shabbos, hours before Shabbos. I'm ready, I'm learning, I'm preparing. No problem. Before balabatim, but they come in the last second before Shabbos. They're achmonas. So you had a problem that when Shabbos comes, to switch off your brain from the business world and switch on your mind to Shabbos. But not me, I'm the rabbi. But this week, I'm telling you, I was such a balabas. My brain was totally on my computer, totally submerged in this book. I'm telling you, I couldn't wait. When Shabbos is over, I want to get back to this book. Get me to my computer. I'm like, I'm mamish an addict. Gefela. If I would only serve Hashem with such a cheshik, if I would learn Torah, l'shma, with the same cheshik I had from my personal Lego trip over here, my book, with my... Zeh Sefer told us Adam, and we all are writing a book with our lives, and there's a deadline. And the closer I get to my deadline, I say, I wish I would have fixed this up. Oh yeah, I know if the book is out, what did I do? This mistake, that mistake. Oh, why did I let this go by? I should have put this, and I should have put that, and that's exactly what we're all going to feel after 120. After the deadline comes, we all have our deadline, writing a book with ourselves, and we'll go to Shema and say, oy vey! There's only blank pages in this book over here. I left out so many chapters, so many mitzvahs I left out. And even the ones I did, they're so mixed up, they're so not clear. I had to Shem, let me rewrite it. Let me just go back to 10 and let me rewrite this mitzvah, Shem. I blew tefillin every day of my life. I never even checked my tefillin. I don't know my tefillin. I put them on wrong. And so many women they go to mikvah the whole life, they don't know the halachas, they do the wrong things. So many women have kashas, they don't ask any shilas, they make mistakes, their kitchen's a trafe, they don't bother asking a shilas, they don't even know, it's nothing. They come to Olam Haba, the book, I made such a mistake, Kashem, please let me go back and fix it up a little bit, just come on. Too late. Deadline, it's over. A deadline, if you ever had a deadline, a project or a book, you know that when you're getting close to the end, I wish I had a little more time, just a little more time. If I don't have another week, another day, I could do so much, I could change, I could do so much. The Valtiga metaphor. David Melo says, we have to mamish, have a mind every day of our lives. We have a cheshek to serve the Rabbanu Shalom. The real book we're supposed to write is the book of service of Hashem. It's a service book. Yizgageya. And David Melo says, when a person really tried his best to serve the Rabbanu Shalom, and now, leaves a shir on Sunday morning, it's 9:15, and he says to himself, okay, I have a whole day ahead of me. What am I doing to serve Hashem today? Hey, I don't have to go to work today. I have time as my own. Yeah, I owe my wife, I owe my kids, fine, but there's still plenty of time today. What am I doing to serve the Rabbanu Shalom? How? And turns up a blank and says, I don't know, can't do it. I mean, what's the rabbi want from me anyway? You know, the rabbi is a very dramatic man. The rabbi is a good speaker. He's good. He lays on the guilt very good, the rabbi. He's very good. I'm there. I really talk a feel good. But, you know, I don't know what to do, actually. What does the rabbi want from me, actually? My tefillin are good. Zuzis, I checked them a couple of years ago. What do you want? Tzitzis. That's really the Rachmanis. The Rachmanis is, you'll go out, and I'll go out, and we'll be very inspired, and we'll say, but I don't know. What does he really want from me? What is there to do? I don't know any Mishalachim around here. I don't know. No sick people in the hospital today. Who can I visit? Well, the Tara David Mel is saying, we better go find ways to serve Hashem. There's plenty. Believe me, we are Hashem, plenty of things. We don't even think about it. We start thinking, we'll find plenty of things we're not doing right in our own lives and new stuff that we have to do to Hashem. But we have to be open to it. So he says, if a person tries his best, then Hashem will be done l'chav schus if we don't finish up. We don't have to finish all these jobs. We have to have some dreams. So, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, I'm saying, you know, I never even gave a serious thought till last night, tell you the truth, when I rang the Sefer. And speaking about the subject of, you know, whether writing a Sefer Torah qualifies for Meiser money, which it doesn't. If you're writing a Sefer Torah with a shul, you could take it for Meiser money. Now, he said, you know, I really never gave serious thought to writing my own Sefer Torah. As a chiyav, I never dreamt about a Sefer Torah. Where am I going to get the money for a Sefer Torah? And who am I writing a Sefer Torah? Oh, man, I'm not in that league. I don't have that kind of money. Sefer Torah, good Sefer Torah, $40,000, $50,000. So why not? Why shouldn't I write a Sefer Torah? People don't need a rich person to write a Sefer Torah. If that's my dream, as a mitzvah deraisa to write a Sefer Torah, and once in your life, so if that's my dream, I should have that dream. If I have that dream, it'll happen. Anything that's not so out of the realm of the impossible. That would be my dream to fulfill this mitzvah. I have a cheshek for the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. It would happen already. It's going to happen. It would happen. I find the money somehow. This world of prosperity today, we find money for other things. So to remodel the kitchen, I found money. I'll find money for the Sefer Torah. We'll find the money. It'll be there. But no, for the homes, we have millions of dollars for our homes. For new cars, we have millions. Who even dreams of writing a Sefer Torah? I have to build my house. I have to remodel. So Zok, the Chavos of I dreamt about writing a Sefer Torah and I couldn't do it, Taka. It didn't work out. Taka, then Hashem can forgive you. But if you had no Cheshik, come to Shmai and say, where were you? The house you wanted to build, the kitchen you wanted to remodel, the vacations, the trips, the big world cruise. But what happened to the Sefer Torah? Is the mitzvah derived to the last mitzvah derived to the Sefer Torah? Why didn't you dream about that? You didn't even think about that, did you? Maybe you want, why don't you have a Cheshik Amol to build to start a Kailo, to support a Kailo yourself, have a Kailo, build a yeshiva, help build a yeshiva, new yeshiva, monthly new yeshiva. Believe me, we knew yeshivas a monthly, a lot of new yeshivas. This town could have a new boys' school and a girls' school every year. It wouldn't be enough. And Kanai Nahara, you're not really happy with the kids' school anyway. And you know, it's always good to be a founder. It's great to be a pioneer. But nah, I'd rather fight with the principal and say Lashon Hara behind his back all the time. I'd rather butch and complain. Maybe start a new school. I'm not, you ever dreamt about, who am I to start a new school? Why not? If you think it's the best thing for your kids' chinuch, you're not happy with the chinuch getting over there, and maybe get together a couple of parents and talk about it. Maybe there's someone who's starting something, find out there are people starting schools, maybe help them out. Think, dream. He says, if you dreamt and you wanted, Hashem will forgive you for not finishing. But he says, who meets either chayv letzapais le'itim v'em yale v'yadoi v'tila yechayles d'mali l'kol chavaisav. But we, on our part, have to yearn and look forward to opportunities. How can I fulfill my obligations to the Rabbanei Shlom? And this is it. Val yechapes. This should be the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. Val yechapes la'atzmai terutzim v'tzadkuyos. Don't look for excuses and terutzim answers. Don't look for answers. Look for questions. Ask not for excuses. Ask what I can do for the Rabbanei Shlom. Ask not what the Rabbanei Shlom can do for me. Ask what I can do for him, and don't look for excuses. We live a life of excuses. We are so great at making excuses. Ayachapes la'atzmai terutzim, answers why I can't do it. Vitzdatkuyos, which are excuses, make myself look good. Today, lift our asatim and milu chavoysav to excuse ourselves and exempt ourselves from fulfilling our obligations to the Rabbanei Shalom. Now, this I learned this when I had my first position. I was Rosh Masifta in Miami, a very difficult job, overwhelming job many years ago, very shver, matzav. But the person who was an older person, the Talmud Chacham, sort of schlepped me into this. I'll never get, I used to come up with all kinds of excuses all the time, why this can't be done, that can be done. He said, listen, you are a great excuse maker. All you're proving to me is that you're brilliant and clever at making excuses, but you're not getting anything accomplished. So fine, shkoyach, you've created wonderful excuses, they're great. Your excuses are brilliant. You are brilliant. You're really a great excuse maker. But that's not what you're here for. You're here to build a yeshiva. Now you're looking for excuses. Do something. You know, the fellow taught me computers, so before he just fixed it, he's always teaching me new things about computers. So I told him to put a new screensaver on my computer because the old one I didn't like. So I left the room. I come back. He has a banner that streams like every 2 minutes after I'm not working. Big banner says, Rabbi Foyer, why aren't you working? Get back to work. That's the stream I got now. Every time I leave the computer for 2 minutes, I have to come back. Get back to work over here. Why aren't you working? The task in life is not to find excuses, it's to make demands on ourselves. We coddle ourselves. There's a dialogue. I wish, they must have such a thing. I wish someday I could get hooked up for a 24-hour period to some kind of a brain machine that could have a printout of what I thought the 24 hours. It'd be scary, actually. I'm very confidential, naturally. And it'd be very scary. But I'd love to, I'm sure that'd be like 3 million excuses there, like why I can't make it the mincha today, why I can't do this mitzvah today, why I can't learn right now, and why I can't make this bracha better, and why I can't be nicer, why I have the right to lose my temper. I'm sure that most of my thoughts would be excuses. Most of them be probably excuses. We're excusing the whole day. The whole day, even as I'm talking to you right now, saying to yourself, why what I'm telling you doesn't apply to you. Just as I am telling myself what I'm saying doesn't apply to me. It's unbelievable. We have such an excuse mechanism. He says, don't do that. Don't look for excuses. Don't be mezalzel in our chayvis. I think, if you asked me today, the word that I think is the most operational word, I'd like to be the most operational word of my life. I think more of it in my interpersonal relationship, but really it's with Hashem too. I think the most important word that a Jew has to, if you want to have something in the vernacular, shall we say, or more non-biblical terminology, non-halachic, I think the most important word in our vocabulary should be the word achrayus. Responsibility. I have a responsibility. An ironclad responsibility. I'm responsible for myself, for my actions. I'm responsible to the Rabbeinu Shalom. A lot of responsibilities. I can't get out of it. I have a responsibility to my family, tremendous ironclad responsibilities to my wife and to my children. I have responsibilities to my neighbors and to my shul and my community and to Klal Yisrael. I have responsibility. I'm looking for responsibility. I'm not looking to shirk. I'm not looking for excuses and ways out. I'm looking for ways in. The Jewish attitude is, like the Chavos Vavos starts, and like the Mesilas Sharm starts off, that a person should know, Ma Choy Vosoy Boy Lomoy. What is my obligation? What is my responsibility in this world? We're not looking to shirk responsibility. That's the biggest damage, the biggest wound that America has inflicted upon us, this gullus, the most corruptive, corrosive influence that America has upon us is that America, the main document in this country is called the Bill of Rights. My rights. I'm looking for my rights, what the country owes me. And the country owes me by the Declaration of Independence that I have the right to the pursuit of what? Life, happiness, and what? Happiness, liberty, life, liberty, and happiness?
Pursuit of happiness.
That's my constitutional, declarational, patriarchal rights from the Tatas, George, James, Tom, Jim, and Andrew, Jack, the whole chevra. He's not one of the fathers. But the kids are... That's the whole sorrow of the Heimtika world. Ma, the Yid is Ma Chayv Asay Barlamay. Chayv, I'm a Bal Chayv. And America is what's rights. I have rights. So says the Chayv Zavavis, if we are mezalzel in our Chayvis and our obligations and our Achrayas, says Shlomo, it'll come back to haunt us in the day of judgment. There's a day of judgment. There's a deadline. It's sure there's a deadline. We are so silly because we think we're still young and geschmack and you can't say anymore. I'm young and gay. You can't say that much anymore. We think that I'm young and happy, so I can do what I want. You're a young man, Mr. Lam, huh? You're like Baruch Hashem. You live till 120, but you know the deadline's coming at 120. That's for sure. So Baz L'Davi Yechabaloi says the pasuk in Mishlei. Whatever we take lightly, Baz L'Davi. Whatever we we've machavek medahan, whatever we push away, will come back, yechabala, will come back to injure us, to damage us, to wound us. Davka, the less we take something seriously, the more it will boomerang and backlash against us and come back to haunt us. If we don't take responsibility, if you take responsibility, he says, and you really make a good effort, to the extent you made a good effort, you'll be zaychet the siyat to the shmai to finish. And if you don't, Hashem will forgive you. We don't look haschos. But if we don't take responsibility, that I've got to give my every extra minute of my life to the Rabbanu Shalom, if we don't, I don't want to say these words, because that's such a self-indictment, I'm afraid to say it. But you know, there's a thing called bittul Torah. There's a very big sin called wasting time from Torah. That goes not just on an hour or two, it goes on every minute. So if I could learn a Mishnah, and I'm just dawdling around, and I could chop around and open my Mishnayos, I could say a kapitel tillim, but I should learn something, Yimavra Sedra, and I don't do it, and I'm wasting my time. It's going to come back to haunt me. Why didn't I finish Yimavra Sedra? Oh, God, you know, evidence. I had it in kind of midst of Mavir New York Times on Sunday. I was Mavir Times. Then I've been Mavir the Wall Street Journal. I had no time for Mavir Sedra because, you know, I have my priorities straight. I know what's important in life. And the Sunday Times, that's a, what are we holding? Section H, J, L, M, N, O, P. How far does the section go? They keep on going and going. It's like a whole olive base, right? So when I finished the New York Times, I told you once, I couldn't help myself laughing in the middle of a funeral once where a doctor gets up and he was talking about his father. My father was such a diligent person, such a great person. My father, he wouldn't go to sleep every night unless he finished the New York Times from cover to cover. He wouldn't go to sleep. And Mamish, as an Orthodox Jew, my father, he was so diligent. You know, he was a balachrayas. He started the Times, he finished the Times. That, right down to the obituaries, right down to the last obituary. In the midst of Mavir Times. But there's a din of Biddle Torah on every one of us. Anyway, the Chavetz Chaim here has, now he says, okay, that was the introduction. And now, my friends, he says, I'll teach you how to think. The whole purpose of this chelik is to teach you how to think. I will now supply for you. He says there's endless cheshbonos. There's endless cheshbonos. But I'm going to give you 30. 30. This chapter has 30 different meditations for a thinking Jew. I want to put a sefer once called Meditations for a Thinking Jew. I actually translated these in English in my way. I started working on it, but didn't finish it. One day maybe I'll get back to it. Really, the whole Chavos Levavos I want to synopsize. That would be a great dream of mine to somehow synopsize the Chavos Levavos in a way, present it in a little different way so people could appreciate it better. Because even with the nice Hebrew and the English translation, it's still, you know, it needs a more contemporary presentation. Anyway, I'll just touch upon the first meditation because our time is running out. And I'll just touch upon the first meditation, which we will, we're not going to be here next Shabbos, it looks like. But I will be back for Sunday. I won't want to miss the shir. I will come back, Mr. Hashem. So we will have the shir next Sunday. Be'ezra Hashem, Yizbarach. First Cheshbon. He says, you know, most people, they complain, you know, I wish I was born in a different family. My family is so dysfunctional. My parents I had, you know, if I would have had a great rabbi for a father, had a bigger yeshiva for a father, that'd be a tzaddik. But my parents, now they weren't, they're so religious and they're hypocrites, but you know, they're such a crazy family I came from. I don't have a family. My parents weren't religious, or they were religious, but not so religious. And my father, my mother, they abused me. If I would have come from this and this family, then life would be better. Boy, I'm so envious of those people who have these beautiful fathers and mothers. Boy, I wish I had that. Says the Chavos Levavos, everybody, stop thinking like that. First thing a person to think in his obligation, to know his obligations to God, thank God I was born. You know, says the Chavos, it might sound funny. He says, you know, Hashem has four different options how to make me. I could have been a rock, a domain. I could have been a vegetable. I could have been a rose. I could have been born a daffodil or a dandelion. I could have come an animal. I could have come in the world as a lion or a toad. I could be a toad. Could have been a salamander, a worm, and he may be a human being. So I should be just happy I'm human. There's a lot of choices, you know. A lot of Hashem has all kinds of choices. He could have made me, my persona, could have come as a rock. And everyone would be kicking me around. I could have been a piece of grass, everyone stepping on me. I could have been a sheep, and I would have been slaughtered, and someone would eat me and put me in their challenge. But thank God I may be a human being. So no matter how deficient and inferior I think that my origins are, I've come from such humble origins, but I'm here. I'm human. I'm alive. I'm a human being. I have a brain. I'm way ahead. I don't have a big yichus. I'm part of the human race. I'm much better than a rock. I'm much better than the dandelion. And I'm much better than a cow and a sheep and a salamander. So boy, I have yichus. I do have yichus, as a matter of fact. You know, I'm a member of the human race. I have big yichus. And once I'm a member of the human race, it's I have to live up to that responsibility. You know, I'll leave you with this. I don't know if I've told you this mushroom in a long time. So, I heard this mushroom so many years ago. The Bachan, the Yeshiva Bachan just came back. Bachan tells, just come back from Israel. He was learning in Hebron. They were learning in Hebron. And he told me this mashal. Actually, he was in Slabodka. I'm sorry, it's the offshore of Slabodka. He learned in Slabodka in Bnei Brak. And he told me this mashal that they said over from the Slabodka Yeshiva, who was not alive yet at that point, Rabbi Isaac Sher. I believe Rabbi Isaac Sher gave this mashal. Azam mashal. The mashal was the mashal of the famous elevator ride of Rothschild and Rockefeller. Today we have to find different metaphors for the rich people of the world. We have to have what, the Buffett and the Gates or something. But let's keep it to Rockefeller and Rothschild. Classic examples. So Rockefeller and Rothschild are taking the same elevator up to the top floor of the Empire State Building. Long ride. So it's Rockefeller and Rothschild. So they don't want to do in the long elevator ride. So they decide they're going to compare their wealth and their assets, one with the other, and see who's richer. It's about time we decided who is the world's richest man. Is it Rockefeller or Rothschild? So Rockefeller says, well, I'm obviously richer than you are, Rothschild, because I own, with all my Standard Oil, and I have like, I own like 2,500 oil wells. And Rothschild says, well, you know, I invest in many oil companies as well. I make a cheshbon how many I own. Let me think, I own this company, French oil and Saudi oil. 2,500. I also have 2,500. Really? Okay. And then, well, Rockefeller says, well, you know, I have so many factories. I have, let me figure out how many factories I own. Well, in fact, I have 372 factories. Rothschild says, well, let me, 1 second. Let me make a cheshbon how many factories I own. 372. And they go on real estate, and they go on with their polo horses, and they go on with different cars, they own limousines and Lear jets, and they're neck and neck. They're mamish, they're equal. Mamish, they all have the same amount of everything. So finally coming down to personal stuff already, and Rothschild says, well, let me see, I own 276 suits. Rockefeller says, suits, huh? Let's see, I haven't counted late. The valet just gave me a little cheshbon the other day. 270, what was it, 76 suits? I have that same thing. Okay. Pairs of shoes, Rockefeller, shoes. Let me figure it out. We're down 122 pairs of shoes. Russell says, oh, that I know already. My shoes is my favorite club. I have 122 pairs also. I'm getting that. Ties, 376. They're getting down to undershirts. It's getting very personal over here. Pairs of socks. Finally, they come to the cigarettes. Rockefeller says, well, these are going in my pocket over here. I have my take-out canister of cigarettes, and I have 13 cigarettes left in my Benson Hedges, good cigarettes, okay. And the Rothschild takes out his cigarettes. I have 13 cigarettes too. Neck and neck, the mama. So finally Rothschild takes out his matchbook and he says, let me look at my little matchbox over here, how many matches I have. And he counts his matches. He says, well, I have 8 matches. And Rockefeller whips out his matchbook and he starts counting his matches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches. And Rothschild says, aha! Aha! I'm richer than you. I have one match more than you. Pauper what you are. Schnorr. That's all you are. The schnorr, your welfare case. I'm richer than you. You're nothing. You're nobody. What are you anyway? A Bethlehem or a man. So these people are so fabulously wealthy. The fact that Rothschild has one more matchstick is narishkeit. What does it mean? It means nothing. Nothing. Zero. So Tu says, the Slabodka Rosh Yeshiva, when we're comparing ourselves to people, both advantages and disadvantages, if a person would realize how great a human being is, just to be human, just to be alive, is such a... Yeah. A minute. So, if you would realize how great it is to be a human being, just to be a human brain, the human body is so amazing, the gifts and the presence. Just to be human, to have the eyes and the ears and the brain and the heart and the neshama. The neshama is better than the brain. The neshama, we have a neshama. If we realize how great we are and how great every other person is, number one, we wouldn't look down at somebody. But I know Shas. What does he know? He's just a beginner and he's reading Aluf Bina. You know, what does he know? He can read Hebrew and I'm Shas. If you know the human being is a human being, a human mind, a human neshama, how great a human being is, the fact that you can know God in Shas and he doesn't know anything in Shas, it's like a little match, it's nothing, because compared to what you both have in common, how amazing a human being is, that little Narish guy is mamish nothing. It's mamish nothing. And on the other hand, if a person feels he's inferior, I said, oh, that person knows so much, and I know so little, and he has such a big yichas, I know yichas, what am I? Just realizing how great you are, how great every one of us is, that we're alive and we have a human brain, that human neshama. The main thing is the neshama, al-chelel, l'kam yimal, a neshama, from gizim erayimim, from the rabbanim, that makes us bigger than malachi ha-shareis, a neshama makes us above a malach. The neshama comes in the kisei ha-kavod, a malach can't come close to the kisei ha-kavod. So I realize how great we are. Mitzad neshama, we will never feel inferior. Just to be alive and to be a functioning, thinking human of whatever normal IQ level we are, without being members of Mensa, we are still fantastic people. And the fact that your IQ is 50 points bigger than me means nothing, because just to be alive and human is meridik in the veld. So the first thing it says, the chavos vav, the first cheshbon is recognize how great we are and use it to serve the Rebbe Shlom. Rabbi Yisai, we'll see you next week.